right, very good. I'm going to have Brother Smith come and preach the Word of God to us tonight. It's been a joy to have him with us last night and throughout this day, and had a good time catching up a little bit and fellowshipping as well. And so come preach the Word of God to us.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, if you would, tonight. The book of Acts and chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Get myself electrified here. I think we're okay. Are we all right up there? If I got everything the way I'm supposed to? All right. We okay? Thumbs up. Get my finger in there. There you go. I have a booger book. I actually have a booger encyclopedia. I know it sounds crazy, and people say, why in the world do you like to tell young people booger jokes? And I say, because they eat them up. Amen. There we go. I appreciate very, very much Brother and Mrs. Schrock. I appreciate very much him allowing me to tease me, or me to tease him. He didn't have any choice in it, but I enjoyed it. And his wife, I'm just watching the reactions. Pastor, the couple that sat across from me today at dinner time, I forgot their names. They're back there embarrassed right now. She's acting like she's not listening. I ought to make them stand. What's that?
Just look for the red one.
Yes. His name is what?
Timothy and Lauren.
I brought counsel for Timothy and Lauren tonight. I observed different things that went on at the dinner table today, and I noticed her conversation with him and his conversation with her was very limited. So I learned some words this afternoon, being able to observe them at the dinner table today. Last night I spoke, and I gave some things that men have things that they wanted ladies to know. Tonight I want to be able to give the men words that ladies say, and this is for her to be able to help him out in their communication back and forth. If a woman says to a man, fine, this is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and you need to shut your mouth. That if she says fine, all right? If a woman will say 5 minutes, if she is getting dressed, this means at least a half hour. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you've been given 5 minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. If your wife would look at you and she would say, nothing, this is the calm before the storm. This means something and you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. Is this helping anybody out tonight? I hope this is building relations. If your wife says to you, go ahead, this is a dare. This is not permission. Do not do it. If your wife doesn't say anything, but she does one of these, a loud sigh. This is actually a word, but it is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. A loud sigh means she thinks you're an idiot and wonders why she is wasting her time standing here and arguing with you about nothing. Mm-hmm. Brother Schrock has been there a multitude of times. If she says, that's okay, this is one of the most dangerous statements a woman can make to a man. That's okay means she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you will pay for your stupid mistake. If a woman looks at you and she says, thanks. A woman is thanking you. Do not question. Do not faint. Just say, you're welcome. If she says, whatever, this is a woman's way of saying, you don't even want me to go there. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, if a woman says to you, don't worry about it, I've got it. This is another dangerous statement, meaning this is something that a woman has told a man to do several times, but is now doing it herself. This will later result in a man asking what's wrong for the woman's response. She wants to know if you're an idiot in every area of your life. I just wanted to be able to give that to you tonight. Yeah, it has been a blessing to be here. We had a wonderful time at dinner today, and I got my fried chicken. I did get my fried chicken, and it was a great blessing. I love your preacher dearly. His wife is very precious. My wife and I have enjoyed fellowshipping with them. Their son ate like a slob at the table. But I'm just seeing if you're all with me tonight. I tell you what, it's blessing my heart that he's going to give his life to the mission field. Promise you we're going to pray for you every day. And it's just been a tremendous blessing being with you all. I'm going to flip it all around now and tell you, you have no idea how God is using your church. Today in the state of Alabama, a man opened his phone. I am not promoting Facebook. I'm not promoting social media. I posted that Sean and I were going to be here, and this is what I got when I got back from eating dinner with preacher and folks. My wife and I hadn't seen her dad since she was 5 years old. Through a series of gracious and miraculous events, she found him in Ottumwa, Iowa, when we were in our 30s. This man and his wife are now in their late 60s. He was a good man, but not a saved man. We took him to the Ottumwa Baptist Temple, where he ran into an old friend from his railroad days. He kept attending and died later, but before he died, he accepted Christ at the Ottumwa Baptist Temple. I thought that was interesting. So I messaged him back, "Can you give me your father-in-law's name and the friend in the church he met?" My father-in-law was William Hopper. I'm not sure how long he came before moving back to Missouri. I don't know the friend's name. But I just thought that was quite interesting that God used that time for a man that hadn't seen, his daughter hadn't seen him since she was 5 years of age. She found her daddy in Ottumwa, Iowa. Then I received another message that a man came and got out of the United States military trying to find direction in life. And guess where he ended up? Ottumwa, Iowa, at the Ottumwa Baptist Temple. His name is William Kuhnert. He's now a member of the Clay's Mill Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm going to shut this off because I don't want anything to happen here. Take your Bible, please, and stand together with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 16. Honey, I'm going to give this to you. I thank you for being in God's house tonight. Please stop by the display table and pick up one of our prayer cards. The greatest need that Mrs. Smith and I have is for you to be praying for us. I do not call for meetings. When we got back, there was a message on my phone, and the pastor asked if we would come to a place in Tennessee and do a couple's family conference. My wife and I speak together. So that's of God. I want to live a life that I see God every day. To be able to see your preacher, and I'm more serious than I can be, I have clipped so many coupons. I just want to sit and listen to him talk. I know you know this, but his wife is a very precious lady. If you could do a favor for this bald-headed guy that's looking at you, don't ever take him for granted. They're one of a kind. There's no more around. God's all over them. They've got a heart the size of heaven. They love you dearly, and they love the people here. Listen to this, please. Often I travel, and I hear negativity because there's sometimes preachers kind of want to unload. And there's sometimes preachers' wives. I often say the reason that my wife travels every place I go is the loneliest lady here tonight in this auditorium. And she would not want me to say this, but there's things that she wants to be able to reach out. But being a preacher's wife, it's just more difficult. But can I say this? In the time that I've been around them, I have not heard anything of a negativity about anything at the Ottumwa Baptist Temple. All they do is just love you folks dearly. They love this place. Their family loves this place. And you folks have sure got a good one. And it's been an honor to be able to be with you. I wish I could say that every place I go. But I'm so blessed, I'm not even going to go to bed tonight. I'm going to drive all the way home. I asked my wife this afternoon, I said, "Would you like to drive tonight?" She said, "Would you let me?" I said, "No. There ain't nothing about that. We're going to drive on home." So thank you for being so kind to Sean and I. Thank you for making this weekend and these however many hours very special to us. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." I'm sorry, Brother Schrock, would you get to where you're supposed to be? Acts 16 comes right after Acts 15. Okay, all right, good. He was fine. Are you boys still five tonight? Okay, good deal. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. That's a private joke. We've been having fun. All right. "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity to be at this great church. Thank you to be with this great pastor and his precious wife and their children. Father, and their children's mates, and Lord, I've just been blessed all over. Father in heaven, I pray tonight. I pray, Father, as a dying man looking at dying men. Father in heaven, we hunger to hear from you. And Father, I ask you to allow me to be a tool. Father, would you fill me? Would you anoint me? May I have a freshness from on high. Father, I yield myself to you. Father, please bind the devil and the demons of hell. Put a hedge around us. Father, may we leave this place. No, we've met with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love this passage of Scripture. I love it very, very dearly. I love this passage of Scripture for multiple reasons. I want you to look back with me, if you would, please, to verse number 14 in this passage of Scripture. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. We see this lady here that was born again, that she would worship God. She invited those preachers into her home. There's a sweet spirit. There's a wonderful spirit. There was a happy spirit. Oftentimes when you and I are soul winning and doing different things, God brings us across people that they're just a blessing to be around. We read on and continue about another woman that these men met. In verse number 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and Silas and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation." And this they did, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out at the same hour. To save us some time, in the next few verses, we see that this lady that was possessed of the spirit, what ended up happening, she is now been, her life has been changed. The multitude is now that was around her were getting great gain. And what's ended up happening is now there's a different story that we're going to build to. Look at verse number 21. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Our setting today is two men of God are in jail. Their name is Paul and Silas. How do these men get in jail? Verses 12 through 24 tells us how they arrived there. The situation now is in jail, and let us follow what ends up happening in verses 25 through 29. In verse number 25, we see, look with me if you would please, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I have this that I wrote in my notes. Where there is prayer, there is always a listening ear of God. Where there is prayer, there was always a listening ear of God. We see the next statement in Jeremiah 33:3. After I said that, I wrote this. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." If ever I sign a Bible, I sign a Brother Dave Smith, Jeremiah 33:3. I call it the phone number to heaven. You can dial it any place you want to. You can dial it any hour of the day. It's God's way of allowing you and me to be able to communicate unto Him. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I made the statement. Where there's prayer, there's the ears of a listening God. Now we look at the very next verse again. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Look what the second thing they did. "And sang praises unto God." And sang praises unto God. The second statement that I want you to remember or write in your notes is this. Where there is prayer, there's an urgency of God. Where there is prayer, there is an urgency of God. Number one, where there is prayer, there's a listening ear of God. And number two, where there is prayer, there's an urgency of God. In Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where there is where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Where there is prayer, there's a listening ear of God. Where there is prayer, there's an urgency of God. Where there is prayer, there is a seeking for God. That's the reason that you and I pray. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, And in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So in verse number 25, we see prayer. I said to you that prayer, when there's prayer, there's always a listening God. Where there's prayer, there's always an urgency of God. And where there's prayer, there is always a seeking of God. The second thing that I want to say to you in verse number 25 is this, is that we also see praise. Where there is praise, there is the presence of God. Where there is praise, there is the presence of God. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34, 1. Psalm 150, verse number 6, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 100, verse number 4, Enter into the gates and with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Where there is prayer, there is praise. Where there is praise, listen to this please, there's always a participation of God. And that's what you and I need in our life, is a participation of God. We need God actively working in our lives. We need God actively directing us in our lives. We need God actively anointing us in our lives. There's prayer to God, there'll be praise to God. Where there's prayer and praise to God, there's a participation in God. Let us now watch the process of events. As we look down in verse number 25, we see these two men, or verse number 24. These two men were locked in chains and stocks. And these two men were cast into the prison. But they were just not cast into the jail at the entry. They were cast deep down in the depths, in the coldest part, in the darkest part. And there they were in those parts where they were chained and they were shackled. They were planned to never be released. They were hoped that they would, though not them themselves, but the people that cast them there, for those two men to die. And that's what they were done. We're done with them. They're cast into the prison. They're locked into the prison. They're secured, locked the doors, locked the gates, and they put a man in charge. But now watch what happened. As we see in verse number 25, and at midnight, the Bible says, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Can you imagine in the darkness where they can't even see each other, where there's a hunger, where there's a dampness, where there's a cold, where there's something that there's no way anybody outside can ever see what goes on. There's two men of God that have been locked away. There's two men of God that have been chained. There's two men of God that have been shackled. There's two men of God that somebody is saying, we just want to get rid of them. They've affected us in a negative way. And yet those men begin to talk to God. Where there's prayer, there's a hearing ear of God. Where there's prayer, there's an urgency of God. Then those men not only prayed, but those men began to praise God. How they praised Him, I know not. They praised Him probably about things that you and I can't even comprehend. And there was an urgency of God when God heard them praise. My friend, that convicts me so deep in my heart, convicts me so deep in my soul, that as I prayed or taught in Sunday school this morning about what happens when we show God that we desire a relationship with Him, now we look at two men that they have no hope, they have no way of escape, they have no way of releasal, they have no way of getting out of that place, but yet there's prayer and there's praise. My friend, when there's prayer, there's praise. There's an immediate participation of God. Is that what's needed in your home? Is that what's needed in your marriage? Is that what's needed in your life? Sometimes we try to figure life out so well. Sometimes we try to work things out so well. And God says, I just want you to feel the pressure. I want you to feel that insecurity. We live in a generation that's got everything all figured out except a relationship with God, except calling down the power of God, except seeing the hand of God work. I don't know about about you, but I desire to see the hand of God every day. When I sat down on that couch this day and I said, listen to my phone, and I got the voicemail, and the pastor said, Brother Smith, could you? I stopped and I said, Preacher, I want to just thank you for having an ear on the mighty ear of God. Because this morning I said, God, if it could please you, could I hear from a preacher today? Oh, my friend, I want you to know where there's prayer, there's a hearing God. He hears in the morning. He hears in the evening. He hears throughout the day. He hears when the sun's shining. He hears in the depths of the valley. He hears on the mountaintops. He hears in the time of joy. He hears in the time of trial. He hears. He listens. And my friend, what we want to see him do is participate in our life and create an urgency there. There was a great earthquake in verse number 26. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. There was a great earthquake. There was a great shaking. I can't imagine what those prisoners felt when there's Paul and Silas and they're chained and they're shackled. Now they feel the thundering and now they feel all the shaking of everything. And I can imagine the prisoners are walking. Somebody get us out of this hole. Somebody get us out of this place. But what were they doing? They were talking to their Heavenly Father. What were they doing? They were praising their Heavenly Father. I believe there was a fear of all the prisoners. I believe there's a fear of that guard that was there. But my friend, they had prayed to God. They had praised God. And God showed up in a miraculous way when that old prison began to shake and those rocks began to twist and that old steel began to crinkle. We see in verse number 26, immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Not just Paul, not just Silas, but the Bible says everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, that you and I tonight, that only in the depths of our secretness, only in the depths of our flesh, there's something that's binding, there's something that's holding on, there's something that's discouraging, there's something that's defeating you, there's something that's overwhelming you, there's something that you're questioning. God, do you hear me? God, can you hear me? God, can you hear me? And God's waiting for you to come to Him in prayer, because where there's prayer, there's a hearing ear of God. But my friend, where there's a hearing ear of God, there's God is on His way to participate. And those prisoners that were shackled, those prisoners that were chained, those prisoners that were starving, those prisoners that had no hope, they felt those rocks twist. They heard that steel twist. And all of a sudden they looked. And the chains fell off. And the shackles opened up. Oh, my friend, there's nothing to stop the hand of God. There's nothing to stop the miraculous working of God. And my friend, the next thing that we see is something so miraculous. And the keeper of the prison was wakened in verse number 27. And as he was wakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. I told you I have quite a number of books. I have over 400 books on the Civil War, and I have many books of World War II. But I read those books because I told you this morning, I want to understand what men thought like, what men did, that they would give their life for a purpose. Through my readings, I came across a section of different Japanese battalions and brigades that by the Allied forces during the end of World War II surrendered. But I began to observe something that I thought, oh my, if a battalion commander knew that he was being onslaughted by forces and he could see that a defeat is imminent, he would have an officer that would be his second in command, and they would come to a place of lone to be alone. The officer that was in charge carried a small dagger with him. And then he had a larger sword that he would give to the officer than his command. What is said, and oftentimes, that they would kneel and they would take the small dagger and they would hold it in front of them. They would take that dagger and they would go ahead and lunge that into their chest and they would fall down. The command was given and that other soldier would take and lop his head off. It is said that our Allied forces found leader after leader that had a dagger in their chest and they were decapitated. That night, when prayer was given, that night, when praise was given, that night, when God heard, There was an urgency of God Almighty. God spoke those words in heaven, and he says rocks begin to shake. God in heaven said steel begin to twist. God in heaven said chains fall off. God in heaven said shackles let loose. God in heaven that night said gates swing open. And when those gates swing open, that prison guard, my friend, you read it just like I read it. You heard it just like I heard it. He drew his sword thinking they've all escaped, and he's ready to take his own life. My friend, tonight outside of these walls, in this town, in every city, in every hamlet, in every state, in every county, in every township, in the United States of America, there might not be people taking their life with a sword. There might not be people taking their life in a way that we've read about here tonight, but there's people that are doomed for hell, and those people need to have some of God's people say, I've got to pray to my God. I've got to let my God hear my praise to bring an urgency to God for souls to be saved, lives to be changed, families to be mended, united in a home, all because of God. Our altars have got to get back tender. We've got to shed tears for a lost and dying world. He stops because there's a sound. The sound is this. It's the voice of Paul. Paul cries out with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are here. Then he called for the light. He come running in, and he came trembling. And when he came running in, and he was carrying that light, and probably others were carrying lights, he didn't stop and say, guys, how'd you do that? He didn't stop and try to figure out how this happened. The Bible says he fell. He humbled himself before an almighty God. And my friend, if we're going to see the power in the hand of God, if we're going to have revival and you're looking at one preacher, revival can come. But it starts in my heart and it starts in your heart and it will affect others. And that's exactly what happened in that prison. When those men that were chained and those men that were bound and those men that had no hope, they said, there's a God in heaven that I can communicate with. There's a God in heaven that I'm going to praise. I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the evening. I'm going to praise him when I feel like praising him. I'm going to praise him when I don't feel like praising him. My friend, that prison guard knew there was a presence of God in that wicked place. There was a presence of God in that darkness. There was now a shine of light. And that guard fell on his face. And then that guard began to say this. Then he called for the light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He took these men up. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My friend, tonight, you and I need to get a hold of God. You need to have prayers the urgency of your life. You need to have prayers the forefront of your life. And right along with that prayer, you need to learn to praise God. You need to learn to stop and say, God, I praise you for my hands. I praise you for my eyes. I praise you for my ears. I love deaf people. One of the many years ago, our oldest grandchild is a granddaughter. She's yielded her life to the deaf. Wherever God would want to send her, here in America or on foreign soil, she's working right now. She's graduated from Bible college and she's working to get her federal certification that so she can, until she's married, can interpret here. But when we were talking one day, I call her Snooks. I said, Snooks, I said, let me Papa tell you about something special. One night we were having a week of deaf camp. I went down to check on the men's cabins. I couldn't find any of the men in the cabins. I thought, where in the world did they all go? I was real scared there for just a moment. The rapture had come and I got left behind. And I thought, that can't be right. And then I saw out in the back of a dark field, past the boys' cabins, down in a low spot, a whole bunch of men standing. I walked out there with a flashlight and they were just looking up in the heavens. I held a light up here so they could see my hands and I began to sign, what are you doing? Brother Smith, What noise do those stars make? They were all from the city, and they'd never been in a place where you could see the beautiful sky like we see oftentimes here in this old state of Iowa. And they said, do they make sounds? And as they began to ask question after question, I dropped my flashlight and I thought, the first words that they'll hear are these words, welcome home from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some of us, our infirmities keep us from prayer. Our burdens keep us from praise. Our frustrations keep us discouraged. Our doubts. Can I get you to do a favor for me tonight? Don't go home and watch the news. Don't open your cell phone and see what they're doing. Can I get you to do another favor for me? Don't start your day tomorrow with the television. You see, that's not the real news. The real news is Jesus is coming again. The real news, he's willing to save sinners. The real news is he wants to hear you talk to him. Oh, it's not a sin for you to look at the news. But my friend, most of God's people has lost their joy. Most of God's people have lost their praise. When's the last time you just fell on your knees and you began to exalt him? I appreciate so very much Brother Schrock, and I mean it from the depths of my heart. He's a good song leader. He's a great song leader. His wife has told him how to do it. He's got energy around us. I don't know what he's got around her, but around us. I liked it last night in the skit. He's getting involved. I liked it last night when I was preaching or teaching. He was involved. I like it how he comes up and he's ready to sing. I like how he sings that. But how about you and me? This young man stood here tonight with a violin. You know what God heard in heaven? He didn't hear what you and I heard. He saw a young man that yielded his life and said, God, I want to play for your glory and your honor. When's the last time that you did something to bring praise to God? When's the last time you just stopped and thanked God for your salvation? When's the last time you just stopped and rejoiced that the old body might be tired, the old body might be hurting, but eternity's coming soon? When's the last time you thanked God that you had a job? When's the last time you thanked God that you had feet to walk on? My daddy was born with polio. My right arm is almost twice the size of my daddy's right leg. My dad walked like this. I never heard him complain about it one time. When I was living in Colorado, my mom made a long-distance call. She said, is there any way you can go home? Your daddy drove himself to work today, and he went in the bathroom and got something to clean up the inside of his truck. He had spit up blood all over the inside of his truck. He washed it out, drove himself to the hospital. They gave him 3 pints of blood. That's the kind of daddy I was raised with. I got back and got off the airplane, jumped in my truck, and drove to Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines, Iowa. I said, Dad, what you doing? He said, oh, they took my dipstick out and they found I was a few pints low. He might not have been everything I needed to be spiritually, but he was a man. He was a man. He said, I'm not crippled. I'm special. I'm special. Give us a generation of Christians that know how to pray. Give us a generation of Christians who know how to praise. We'll see the miracle of God happen. We'll see the hand of God begin to move. What is being said is there's a difference between you and me tonight that are saved in the lost world. Oh, God's wanting to do a great work. But let's look what ended up happening here in verse number 31. And they said, Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Bible continues on in verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his. Do you see that? He and all his. If you and I would get set on fire for God, if you and I would begin to pray, if you and I would begin to praise God, you and I would begin to see souls being saved, homes being put back together, marriages being reunited, and things happening that only God can do. Verse number 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want to end the message tonight with this. If the man that heard and saw this happen went right to his house, what kind of home do you have? What kind of home do you have? Do you have a home of prayer? Do you have a home of praise? I took the word home and I made a simple acrostic. Number one, is your home a holy place? I don't know about you, but we don't say wrong words, even slang wrong words. I want my house, the home that we live in, to be a place of the presence of God, to be a holy place, to be a place that honors God. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. He says, be ye holy. That'll cause you to change your attire. That'll cause you to change your music. That'll cause you to change your friends. That'll cause you to change the places you go. That'll cause you to change the books you read. The word sanctify means to be set apart for God's purpose. Sanctification includes a change of heart, a desire to love God and our other people. Number one, home ought to be a holy place. Number two, it ought to be an open place of communication and honesty. You ought to have the ability to be able to sit down, share your hearts with each other, love each other, have a peaceful place. Can I challenge you to do something? Start having family devotions. If you're a couple together, start reading your Bible together. My wife and I, when we finally get back to the house tonight, we'll go ahead and get everything unloaded. My wife and I will hold our hands and we'll spend some time praying with each other. Tomorrow morning, my wife and I will hold hands after we get done doing a little kissing. Amen. I said a little bit of kissing. Amen. There might become a time I won't be able to do it. I enjoy lip locking. I really do enjoy that. If you don't do that, God have mercy on you. I told you, heard an old preacher say one time, he said, when my wife and I get all wrinkled up, I'm going to reach out, take both of my hands, smooth those wrinkles out, and plant a big one right on top of her. And I say, amen to that. Is there openness in your home? Is there a sweetness in your home? Is there an honesty in your home? The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse number 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, and chambering, and wantonness, not in strife and envying. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things. We will live honestly before all men. Number one, is your home a place of holiness? You see, when it was all done, they went to the house, and it changed the whole house. And the house became a place of holiness. It became a place of openness. It became a place of honesty. Thirdly, our homes ought to be a place of memories. I apologize to you that we were late tonight. Pastor was counseling Mrs. Smith and I. I've done enough wrong that we had a time of intense fellowship right there in his office. If you believe that, I've got a lot of things I'd like to sell you tonight. I was listening to his heart. We was talking about his precious sweetheart. I remember a little girl years back with a smile upon her face. Never saw anything less than a smile. She was always happy. She stood back here tonight. I saw that same smile. I saw that same happiness. I listened about a family of 13. Memories. A son will leave tomorrow on a jet airplane. Mom and Dad are going to think about when he came into their life. A little boy, when he got saved, when he yielded his life, and now he's going to fly halfway around the world to speak a language that they love the people of that country. Oh, what kind of memories do you have? Do you have memories of mom and dad arguing? My wife and I one night were having a time of intense fellowship. Don't tell me you don't have them. We do them just to keep everything lubricated. Next thing I saw was a little boy named Jeremy and a little girl named Davina carrying on in a way that I don't want to tell you about. I said, what in the world are you doing? And that little girl of mine that's a preacher's wife, she said, we're just acting like you and mommy. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know what kind of sword she had, but it sure went through. Our grandchildren will do things. And they'll say, that's just like Dad and Mom. I sent one of my grandsons a soul winning New Testament the other day. I wrote in it. Had another grandson call me from Bible college saying, Papa, I need you to pray tonight. It was almost 11 o'clock. My phone went off. I want my grandchildren to call me all hours of the day and night and say, Papa, I need you to pray about something. My granddaughter called the other day, Papa, I don't have money for the next semester of college. Would you be praying? I told my wife, I said, honey, we got $100 in the budget. Let's send it to our granddaughter. She flew to Iowa. She spent 7 days with us. We took her to the airport, 9 days with us. We took her to the airport and the snow came and she couldn't go. What ended up happening? She went up to the counter. As she went up the counter, they rescheduled her flight. And my son-in-law is a Jew by trade. He's not a Jew. But if he's got anything to sell, he'll charge you three times what it's worth and smile while he's taking your money. I'm not saying he's a cheat. I'm saying he's a betrayal is what he is. She come walking out with a big old smile after the ticket counter. And I said, Snooks, I said, what happened? She said, well, Papa, I stood there. And they told me that my seat, the flight was going to be canceled, and they rescheduled me. And she said, kid, is there anything you can do for me? And the lady left the counter. She came back and she says, well, we can give you $800 gift card to go credit on the flight. She said, this is where the betrayal comes out. Is there anything else you can do for me? The lady says, well, I'll go see. She came back and she says, well, we're going to give you a $1,200 gift card that you can use however you want to. Then the betrayal came out again. She says, is there anything else you can do for me? She said, let me go back. And she says, well, on the next flight, we'll put you in the first class. I thought, Snooks, the next time I fly, could you go ahead and help me to hear that? She come out, and I helped her load up in the Jeep. And she come up, and she said, Papa. She said, you know, I asked you to pray that my college bill would be met. She said, Papa, the money they gave me tonight covers my college bill. My friend, tonight, make memories in your home. Is your home a holy place? Is your marriage a holy place? Is it a place of openness and honesty and compassion to each other? Is it a place of memories? And then the last, and I'm just about done, we're going to go to the house. Is it a place that everyone feels welcome and loved? Home is a place we don't want to leave. Home is a place we want to return real soon. Our home should be a heaven on earth. Our home should be a place that makes family, friends, and can I say it the way I say it? Folks, welcome. Our home should be a place of peace. Our home should be a place of comfort. Our home should be a place of the presence of God. The Bible says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Matthew 5, verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Our homes cannot have peace if salvation is not come to our lives personally and to our family. It started out with two ladies of opposite directions. It took us to a prison where they were shackled, where they were chained, where the rocks twisted, where the gates opened, where the prison guard was ready to kill himself. My friend, there was prayer. And where there's prayer, there's a hearing ear of God. Where there's praise, there's an urgency of God. Where there's prayer and where there's praise and that urgency of God, there's God participation. How's your life tonight? How's your home tonight? How's your marriage tonight? How's your walk with God tonight? It's a broad spectrum, but my friend, I'm afraid if the way that we could see the way God sees, is there some of us here tonight that are chained Is there some of us here tonight that are shackled? Let's let God break those chains. Let's let our lives become a special place. And let's let our homes be a place that honors God. Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. Father in heaven, I thank you for this precious place. Lord, what a joy was in my heart when, Father, I opened my phone and 30 years ago, a young lady came to this town of Ottumwa, Iowa, and saw her daddy for the first time in over 30 years. That dad came to this place. That dad was saved in this place. And that dad now is in heaven because of the focus, the vision, and the action of the people that were here at one time. I pray tonight, Father, however you've spoke to hearts, if there's somebody here tonight, Father, that does not know you as their Savior, may they be born again. And Father, tonight, may every dad, may every mom, may every child, may every grandpa and grandma and aunt and uncle ask themselves, is my life a holy place? Am I open with God? Am I making memories that are pleasing to God? And have I allowed God to empty myself? With heads bowed and eyes closed and everyone standing, the pianist is at the piano. As the piano begins to play, I encourage you to come to this altar tonight. I encourage you to spend some time with Him. I encourage you to open your heart to Him. I encourage Him to allow Him to have your situation and your circumstances. Just give it to Him. Just let Him have it. As I read in those books about those leaders taking that knife out of that scabbard and piercing it into their chest. Oh, my friend, that we'd raise a generation of God's people. They called that honor. But oh, how about God's people living in honor to God? What's your life like? Is it a holy place? Are you open to God? Are you making memories that will last for eternity? Are you the one that's kept God from working? Just empty yourself. Thank you, preacher.
We all have something we want God to do in our lives. God begins to work in us and we respond to Him, it also touches other people. There's no reason to go throughout life without experiencing God working regularly in our lives. God can speak to us daily in our devotions. We can have answered prayers on a regular basis. God can shake things up, can He? He can. You can be seated, please. Are we off the live stream, Brother Hornick? Is that cut off? go ahead and have our deacons come. And Brother Schrock, would you come ahead and just kind of explain the chairs, the gauge, and all of the quality and that kind of thing, if you would, please. And then, deacons, if you would go ahead and be passing these out.
So basically, these chairs are, I don't know if you're familiar with, you see them around what they call pew chairs. They're padded, they're metal frames, but they're padded seats and padded backs.